Prince of Peace. The world has long wanted peace. At the same time, constantly struggling with wars. Many inhumanities to man. But the angels said that they were bringing peace to a world. Bringing peace. That one who brought peace was the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, born that first Christmas Eve in a manger to a common couple. He would not only bring peace, but like all of the others that we've already talked about in this series, God with us, He brought hope. He brought love. He brought joy. And He brought peace. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." You know, we live in a time when people's lives are riddled with fear of every kind. Fear that leads to anger, fear that leads to depression, fear that leads to people literally isolating themselves from the rest of the world. Fear that causes many to despair of life with no hope. Certainly no joy in their life. And love, that too is overshadowed by the fear. And peace, there's no peace there. There is constant trouble, constant hassle, constant struggle, if you will, with just everyday events and relationships. We've never been or lived in a time in this world, you and I, that has not had more hatred and violence, and that is escalating, by the way. And there's certainly very little peace as far as looking at the world scene and looking at our country even now. And yet the King of Kings said that He brought peace. First of all, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in your individual lives from all these things that stress us out. Somebody the other day said to me, "I wish Christmas was over." Now, this is a person that you wouldn't expect it from, because this person loves the Lord and talks always about obedience and talks about walking with God. But I can't handle the stress. Christmas, I wish it was over. And believe me, she's not alone. There are a lot of people who wish it was all over. We just get back to whatever it is we were struggling with before and not add anything to it, such as the hassle of having to have parties and get-togethers and food and cooking and presents and all of this kind of stuff. And not only that, but tolerating the relatives when they come. And you know how that is. Or maybe not. Actually, I've said this year, I'm laying low. I'm laying low. I'm not doing a lot of stuff. And the reason I'm not doing it is because I want to concentrate on what it's all about. Everything else gets in the way. Like some of you have had your tree up since the 1st of December. I just got mine up finalized yesterday. I wasn't even sure I was going to make it in terms of Christmas. But it's up now. And then I've got grandkids coming over and wanting their presents. Half of them I haven't even wrapped yet. First of all, I'm a terrible wrapper. But I managed to get it together with scotch tape and whatever else I can. And they only look at it for a second anyway, and then it's gone. It's what's inside. And the other thing is, this year, grandchild and child came and said, "We got a problem." One said, "I'm on the streets and I'm cold and my feet are killing me. Can I have my Christmas present?" Which was a nice pair of fur-lined boots. So she's wearing her fur-lined boots. The son came and said, "Dad, my coat's falling apart. I don't have a warm coat to wear. Can I have my Christmas present?" Well, I'd bought him a brand new pea jacket with a nice hood. I think he's sleeping in it. I would. It was warm. So I'm not sure how many presents are going to end up under the tree. Everybody's got them already. But what a glorious time of year this is to remind us again that all the hassle, all the struggle, all the depression, all of the unhappiness, the lack of joy, the lack of peace in our lives are contrary, folks, to what Jesus came to give us. That's not how He expected us to live. Once we know Him and have fellowship with Him, there ought to be joy overflowing. There ought to be a peace that passes all understanding. Nobody can believe it that you're at peace with the world in the chaos it's in. And when they hear us crying and whining and unhappy and joyless, no peace, what do you think the world thinks about all that in terms of we who say we are believers? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Well, we've allowed the world, and we've allowed things of the world, and even events of the world, and sometimes people of the world, to get in our way and to cover up all this good stuff that was put in us by the Holy Spirit coming to live within us. He is God. He is joy. He is hope. He is love. He is peace. And He lives right here. Let Him out. Let Him live it out of our life. And declare to the world, the light has come. There is hope. There is love. And there is joy. And there is peace when I trust Him, when I lean on Him, when I listen for His direction, when I follow what I hear, and when I'm obedient to what He tells me. We come back to the Christmas story, and the passage we read this morning in Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, tells us a story about the child being born and the angels coming to the shepherds and literally saying to them, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. This ought to be a joyous time. And if we're allowing stuff to get in the way of that joy, we're missing out on the most wonderful part of Christmas. If we're allowing people, certain people, to get in our way, short-circuiting that joy in us, then we're missing out on what that angel was talking about when it spoke to the shepherds. But he didn't stop there. He said the reason there's joy is because in the city of David there is born a Savior. who is Christ the Lord. Now, the word Christ here in the Greek is the same as Messiah in the Hebrew. The Messiah is born. Listen, there's a sign for you. You want to know? What's the sign? Well, he's a baby born in a manger with cloth and very poor, and his parents don't have a lot of money, and there was no place for him in the inn. He didn't come with a lot of prestige, but came in humility. And he barely got these words out, and then a whole host of angels shows up, and they're singing, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Folks, peace. Among men with whom he is pleased. I think, as I was thinking about putting this message together, I was thinking about what were some good samples of that peace really functioning and working and happening in the world in days gone by. And I was reminded of the images of Christmas that I had read about during war. And, you know, those two things don't really go a whole lot together, the image of Christmas, peace, and all, and then war on the other side. And so they don't fit together in our minds. That cold cruelty of war seems to be as far as one can get away from the warm generosity of the Christmas season. The pain, the sufferings of battle contradict the joy and the celebration of Christmas. But those who fought in World War I, Christmas arrived right in the middle of an intense global battle. Life in the trenches was brutal. It was gruesome. New technologies at that time, such as tanks and mustard gas, had advanced militarily, and their capabilities to kill even more people efficiently and painfully. But against this backdrop, some individuals chose peace. Early in the war, during December 1914, many German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, the Germans in their trenches and the British in theirs began to sing Christmas carols in their own language. And they recognized the tune from one side to the other, and so they would join in their own language, the same hymns, and it brought them together. And guess what happened? Well, they began to sing and play carols, and then they got out of their trenches, dropped their guns, they came to the no man's land in between, and they began to fellowship together, shouting Merry Christmas to their enemies. The Allied soldiers, a little distrustful at first, crawled out of their trenches, joined them, shaking hands, exchanging gifts of cigarettes and plum pudding, and they sang the Christmas carols together. And History.com says there was even a documented game of soccer during this unofficial ceasefire. The Christmas truce was never repeated. Unfortunately, the officers made sure of it by threatening punishment. But on that special day, enemies placed their shared humanity before their grievances and experienced the Christmas spirit of peace. What a truly powerful message that carries. Wow, can you imagine? That must have been quite a sight to see. Think about it. Enemy soldiers sharing Christmas peace in together, leaving their guns, leaving their trenches, coming together and singing carols and playing games. That's the power of the peace of Christmas. That is the power of God's peace. That is what God can do in the human heart and soul. Even between enemies, He can bring peace. Now we know that we were told in the New Testament that we're to love our enemies. Part of that means we make peace. Part of that means we let the peace of God rule in our hearts when it comes to those who hate us, who talk behind our back, who do all these horrible things to us, as if they were shooting at us. And we begin to sing the carols. And we begin to talk about the joys of Christmas and the peace that God brought in sending His dear Son for you and for me. And then, once the war is over, there's the everyday living. Anybody stressed out about everyday living? Getting enough food, going grocery shopping, going to work, doing whatever you have to do. You just always something, some kind of a demand on your life. Well, the older we get, the harder those demands are. Harder to do it. Harder to get out there. But we do it because it's what we are and that's how we live. But in the middle of it, do we know the peace of God in our hearts? Do we have that peace Jesus talked about? So that we are at peace with all, carrying a message of love and hope, even to our enemies, because we're at peace with God. And we have peace in our own lives. Believe me, it's like living in the middle of a tornado. Everything around us is swirling, going nuts, crazy. I always picture the cow flying through the air. A house over here going through the air. Torn up by the tornado. But in the center, there is the calmness and there is the peace. And you and I in this world, as children of God, as His children, are to be at that place daily, hourly, momentarily, at peace, while the rest of the world swirls around us and looks like it's totally out of control. And then we're to affect those who are panicking. We are to affect those who are fearful. We are to affect those who are giving up without hope by bringing to them, by life and word, a message that reveals God with us. Our hope, our love, our joy, our peace. I can't think of a more powerful combination than God in you by His Spirit reaching out with the very character of God, which all of these things are a part of the character of God, to those who are struggling and hurting. Now listen. God's peace can fill us and rule within us even when we are surrounded by death or evil. God's presence and peace can pierce even the dark and painful surroundings and circumstances of our life, including any war or any emotional valley that we find ourselves in. And you can't tell me that you're not there. I know you are, because I am. Every day, we have things happening in our lives. We get bad news. We're told something's happened. Or we get somebody who's not happy with us and they let us know very carefully and very vividly. How do you stand in peace in those moments? In calmness in those moments? Only through your presence and His presence together as you live together here in this world. His Spirit in you brings peace. You know, one of the things the disciples experienced that you and I have not is the personal presence of Jesus Christ, in the sense of physically seeing Him and walking with Him and talking with Him and eating with Him and so on. We haven't had that. They had that. We have not. But what we have, when He left, He said, I'm going to go away. But when I go away, I'm going to send a paraclete to you. That means someone to come alongside you, someone to live in you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you hanging out there. I'm giving you a gift. And that gift is my Holy Spirit, who also is God, who also lives and is hope, love, joy, and peace. And He begins to work in our hearts from our inward self out. Not from the outside in. Everything out here is chaos. Inside out. And begins to calm us down. Begins to bring peace. Because we begin to look at things from a different perspective. And we realize that God is still in control. That He's never relinquished control. And that there is nothing that will touch us, however tragic it may seem. Right up to the level of death. It cannot touch us unless God says, okay. And that should bring peace to your heart and to your life, knowing that it's all under His control and not yours. The same is true with fear. When I struggle with fear, it's to draw me closer to Christ till I'm filled with joy. Fear not, little children. Those were His words time and time and time again. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Why are we so afraid? If He tells us not to be, then gives us His Spirit to keep us safe and keep us in the place He wants us to be, why are we so afraid, so afraid? And yet we seem to be at times. So I encourage you this Christmas, focus on the King. Because here's the promise. He not only came that night as a babe in a manger, He's coming again as King who will set up His kingdom worldwide. And every nation and every people will bow down to Him, whether they like it or not, because the Scripture says He will rule with a rod of iron. And there will be those who will not bow down voluntarily. Only out of stress, only out of fear. And when that period of time is over, they're going to gather together again to fight against Him. That's going to happen. But in the meantime, you as a believer will be with Him, serving, loving, caring, worshiping. And in the meantime, there will be peace. There will be peace. This time, worldwide peace. It starts with the individual. It starts with you. It starts with me. And I want to say what I said about joy last week, and what I've said about hope, and what I've said about love. They're all contagious. They're all contagious. If you're loving, others are going to love you back. If you have joy, others will catch it and be filled with joy as well. If you have peace, they're going to look at you and say, I want that. I've got all this chaos in my life. I want peace. The peace you have. Tell me how to do that. And you simply lead them to Christ. Show them His promise. And encourage them to surrender everything to Him. And when they do so, to continue to pray for them, support them, encourage them, teach them. Remember when Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I taught you. Teach them everything I taught you. Who are you teaching? Well, you're teaching your children, for one thing. I don't care if they're in their 40s or 50s. I've got kids that old too. But your life still impacts them. Whether you know it or not, it does. They still watch you. They will come to you one day, if they haven't already, and say, Mom, Dad, how do I get through this thing that I'm facing? And you know why they're asking you? Because they saw you go through things with the miraculous peace of God and the calmness and the joy still in your life, and they want to know how to do it too. And they know they've been trying, they can't do it themselves. So they'll find it in Christ, the Prince of Peace. If you've been with us the past 3 weeks as we move toward Christmas, you know that we've been celebrating Advent. We've been talking about the different aspects of Advent. And we recognize that Advent offers us an opportunity to put two things together. One, to remember the coming Savior on that first Christmas. The other is to look forward to the coming King that is yet to come. I love that song. I don't know if we've ever sung it here. The King is coming. We ought to sing it. If we don't, we should be looking forward to it. We should be joyously looking forward to it, intently looking forward to it. The King is coming. And we need to know and believe and really be waiting with anticipation just as much for that coming as those back then waited for the Messiah. Same kind of anticipation. It ought to be the same. So Advent looks back in celebration at the hope filled in Christ Jesus. And it looks forward in peace and praise and waiting for the coming King. And it brings us right into this moment when we recognize that a long time ago, God executed a plan that was started before the foundation of the world. And He sent His Son at exactly the right time, in exactly the right place, to execute this plan that would bring you and me into the kingdom of God and back into fellowship with Him, which was lost when Adam fell. Restoring us. Not only just restoring what we had with Adam, but restoring much, much more. And that of being able to live with Him in eternity, praising Him and giving glory to Him. I was listening to some music last night and I came across I Can Only Imagine. I think I listened to it 3 times last night. Listen to the words. And so much that we just don't know. We can only imagine. But we don't know. But that day it will be fulfilled. It will be completed. It will be perfect. It will be exactly as God wants it to be. And it's going to blow your mind and mine because it's not like anything we've ever known. Never. Now, the shepherds in the Christmas story often get a bad rap. They are presented as outcasts, a dirty, unruly group that was at the bottom rung of society. And while they definitely had a lower place in society, not all scholars believe they were so unrespectable. In fact, shepherds had at one point held a very high position in Israel's history. We know that because of David. Listen, we talk about King David, but you can't study his life and go through his life without understanding he was just a shepherd boy. And the first victory he ever had in the name of God was Goliath. Notwithstanding all the animals that he protected the sheep from, but the first war situation, there's a little boy. You got to think about this. Two armies, huge armies, one cowering in fear, the other one threatening and challenging. And finally they said, well, instead of killing everybody, let's just send our best one out there. So out marches Goliath. He's a giant. He's a warrior, a seasoned warrior. And here's Israel over here just shaking their boots. They don't know what they're going to do or who they're going to send against him, because if they lose this battle, they become slaves. And guess what? It had to be absolutely amazing. That giant standing there challenging, and out comes a little boy who has no armor whatsoever, nothing but a slingshot in his hand, didn't even have the stones yet, coming out to challenge him. No wonder he laughed. And he did. He laughed before he died. And then David picked up some smooth stones on his way out to meet the giant, put one in the sling, and he said to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And he threw the stone. Now, some of you say, oh, that was just luck. It just luck. That's all you meant. This man had a helmet on. And yet it hit him in the side, in the temple, and literally killed him, knocked him to the ground and killed him. And then David walked up and took his sword, which he could hardly lift, because it was so big, and he cut his head off. Guess what happened to Israel after that? They got courage. All of a sudden, they weren't shaking anymore. All of a sudden, they were ready to go, and they chased them, the enemy. The bottom line of all of this is these shepherds were the one that the angels came to. Didn't come to the King Herod. Didn't come to the palace. He came to shepherds. Why? Because the shepherd has always been the symbol of Christ and God's love for you and for me. Now I know you may be offended that he thought you're sheep, but I accept the fact that I'm a sheep and that without a shepherd we're lost. And we needed a shepherd. So who did he give the message to first? The shepherds. Don't be afraid. There's a little baby been born. He's a savior. And here's where he is. And they dropped everything and they went to find this baby. And they did. And then they went away from having met the baby and the mother and what, and went away praising God and telling people about the story and what all had happened. And there were probably those who said, oh, gee, these are shepherds. They don't know what they're talking about. And they may say that about you, folks. They may say, well, you're just a Christian. Of course you believe that. Every Christian believes that fantasy. But it was real. And literally, that man born that day, Jesus, the Messiah, changed the world and brought hope. He loved like no one else. He had joy. And he was at peace always as he was in communion with his Father. And we're told by Paul in Romans chapter 8 that you and I, because of the Holy Spirit we have, is molding us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the world can see that hope and that love and that joy and that peace. You're the instrument now. by the Spirit's power and presence, you and I are the instrument that carries a message. Let us not cloud it or cover it or hide it, but let us be bold and speak of it and live it every day. Shepherds weren't exactly accustomed to being contacted by angelic beings. They didn't expect direct messages from God because that hadn't happened, first of all, for a long, long time with Israel. Imagine their surprise on that day, that night, on the outskirts of Bethlehem, when the brightest star in the sky dimmed and when the whole dark expanse began to glow with the brilliant light of the angel of the Lord. Luke described the scene like this, and there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified. We might ask, what was going on here then? As if a vision of the angel wasn't enough, the glowing guy spoke to the shepherds. Unbelievable. But wait, there's more. Literally more. As in, more angels. Wasn't just one. Started with one. Ended up with a whole chorus of angels singing and praising God and giving glory to Him. You see, these words are almost unbelievable when you think and take them for what they say and what they're saying. Yeah, who's going to believe that? How much have you been drinking? You know, what have you been using? Especially in this day and age, when you're showing the joy of the Lord and when you're showing the peace of God and you're showing all that Christ is in you in a world, that the world's going to look at you and say, what are you smoking? You know, why would you believe in such a fantasy as this? Doesn't make sense. That's because it was of God and not of man. And what is of God never makes sense to us until He reveals it for what it is. Never does. Can you imagine the confusion, the doubts that were probably going through the shepherd's head? Wait, I think they got the wrong guys here. The angels shouldn't have been talking to us. Angels don't make mistakes, so I guess that's us, but God's favor on us and said, favored ones? And His peace is with us? Seriously? Can you imagine? Questions? Well, that's what we would do. We would question it. Now, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. I think you got the wrong person. Sometimes we say that to God when He comes to us and says, I want you to do this or that. And we say, well, you know, I'm not the best at that. Why don't you get somebody else? Nobody's asking anybody to be perfect. We're just asking people to do what God tells them to do. That's all. Whether perfect or not. Nobody expects you to be perfect. At least I don't. And hopefully you don't, because you know you're not perfect. But to be obedient, to know what you're doing, to be in the presence and in the will of God, brings peace. A peace that we can't explain it. We can only live it. It can't be explained because it isn't comprehensible to the human on a basis of reason. There's no reason in the world that you should be at peace. Look around you. You see? But when those times are that God speaks to us and we get a little fearful and say, well, we don't think we can do that. You know, I don't have quite the voice to sing, and yet He's telling me I should. Or I can't play the piano as well as somebody else, but He's telling me I should. Or He's leading a group, a choir, whatever. And I'm not the person. Yes, you are. If God has spoken to your heart, if He's leading you and directing you, and He put you there, you got a job to do. You just do it, and praise God, and let Him take up the results, whatever it is. One of the most inspiring songs that I have ever heard wasn't the song; it was a man who sang the song. He had been burned in a fire. His face was totally disfigured. His voice was more raspy than it was clear. And he sang about the Lord's love, God's love. He was a believer, became a believer through the horrendous event that he went through. And he was going from church to church and sharing his testimony and singing. And if you were to walk in, didn't hear anything, didn't know anything, and just listen to the song, you'd probably say, well, probably he shouldn't be singing. And some of you use that as an excuse. I can't sing, so I guess I won't sing. This man got up and sang with his whole heart. I've been telling you, the room was filled with people with tears in their eyes because God spoke through that song and that man. On the level of 1 to 10 as to his perfection, he was probably a 2. And yet, God blessed him and blessed everybody in that room. So we're not looking for perfection. What we're looking for is obedience. What we're looking for is people to say to God, I can't do it, but you can, so yes, I'll do it. That's true in every area of our walk as a Christian life. Whether we're reaching others with a message of hope and sharing, witnessing to others, and we say, oh, I can't do it, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what I, you know, I don't. Come on. Be who you are and let God work through you. You don't have to have a formula to talk about God and who he is and what he's done. You have to be a witness. That's all. And the other thing is, when he called you to service in the church, a place of service, to serve other Christians, and you say, well, I'm just not really, don't think I have quite that gift. Well, did he ask you to do it? Yes. Well, I think he did. Well, then trust him to give you what you need and do it. The reason I know this is all true is because he did that with me. And I'm going to close with this. I've shared this before. When I was in high school, when I was in the last couple of years of high school, there was what we had was called a literature class at the time. Part of it was reading books and giving book reports. And I was flunking that course because, not that I read the books, I had no problem reading the books, but I could not talk in front of people. And I couldn't stand up in front and say anything to anybody. And if you looked at me, my knuckles were white as I was holding on to the podium trying to get out what I thought I needed to get out to barely get by. And I was actually flunking the class. And then the Lord came and said, need for you to go to school. And he pointed the school out to me through a friend, which was Prairie, and trained to become a missionary. Why me? I can't even give a book report. But it sounded like a great idea, but I didn't know how it was ever going to happen. So I went to school. Matter of fact, I went through my last year of high school at the school there first, where a teacher got a hold of me and she said, you got a problem. I said, I got a problem. She says, we're going to fix that. And so between her and a male teacher that I had who took special interest, and I believe by God's grace, to work on me, and they did for 2 years, to where finally I don't have any fear of talking in front of people anymore. What I have a fear of now is saying the wrong thing or leading somebody astray. And that becomes very fearful to me. I never want to be in the place where I am so misunderstood that people walk the wrong path. So that's fearful to me. As far as talking in front of folks anymore, that's not an issue. But I'm 80-some years old now. This started when I was in my 20s. And God's been working on all this time. And here's the thing. I still fear saying the wrong thing. And that fear is a very real fear to me, and I think it's important that I have it. Because if I didn't, I probably would stray off somewhere in what I was teaching or sharing. and not stick so close to the scripture that I tend to do. Now, I know you all say, well, you know, it's going to take us 2 years to get through this book. It's going to take us 4 years to get through the Sermon on the Mount. And it may, I don't know. But I have to stick to the truth. I have to stick to the Word. Why? Because that I can't say anything different. You know, the Bible says if you add to it or take away from it, you're in trouble. So God can give you what you need when you have no natural inclination to do that. If he calls you, just obey. And he will walk with you through it and enable you to do it. And so we are challenged this morning. We are challenged to remember that God with us brings hope. We always have hope. No matter what's happening, we have hope in Christ. Keep your eyes there. Not anywhere else, right there. And in the middle of that, show love. Reach out in love to people. Every day of your life, make it a point to love somebody in some way or another. And then do it with real joy, not, oh, I got to go do this today. No. Be excited about it. Be joyful about it and do it. In love and joy. And if you do those things, let me tell you something, the peace of God will reign in your heart. The very peace that was announced when God came to be with us. And then remember, when he left, he sent another who lives now inside you. And wants to do exactly the same thing that Jesus started, he will finish. And we simply need to listen and let him do his work. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you. This season is such a glorious season, and it reminds us so much of the needs that we have as individuals, as humans. How so many times we fail, and yet you never do. So give us grace and strength and clarity so that we might truly walk in a way that allows your Spirit to live out your life through us day by day so that the world can see that we're not hopeless and we're not loveless and we're not joyless. And we're not lacking peace, but that all of those things are very real in our individual lives and are to be seen there by the world who is dying and who's in darkness. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.